Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture every Monday and Friday with new shows right there for you. Plus, we've got the great folks at Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Also as well, the awesome folks at LakersBall.com. Get yourself prepared today for the great Game Time chats coming up later this year by signing up now to be a part of LakersBall.com and Ox1947, all the great comments that he has, because the conversation is going to continue at LakersBall.com, plus the great things that are going on at LakerHolics.com. L. Rob's there all the time sharing his thoughts. Laker Tom with his great articles. Jamie Sweet, our own Admiral Akbar, who can't be here tonight, but also conveyed that he's going to drop another 5 things on his 5 things articles right there for you. Plus also as well, the Lakers Fast Break you can find right there as well. Be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Plus, our good friends who've been with us all season long and have been dropping a whole bunch of stuff for us on their social media, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, a big thank you to them. If you can support all these great causes in your life, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, if you'd asked me way back when that the Lakers in the 82nd game would be starting Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, and THT, I would have said, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. That means that the Lakers have won the division, maybe even the Western Conference. Don't want to hurt any of the big players going into the playoffs. Everything is groovy. It's all right. It's awesome. But they're starting them for another reason. That's because they all wanted to sit down. All the big stars sat down because there's no reason to keep on having them play because the Lakers season was over and done with a few days ago. But this game turned out to be quite memorable for another reason. Yes, it was a glorified G League matchup between a lot of players that are not going to probably be consistent players in the NBA. But still, we got a nice showcase for Malik Monk with 41 points and another great showcase for Austin Reeves as Malik Monk's play in the fourth quarter helped the Lakers come back in the second half. And Austin Reeves with a fantastic triple-double for him. 31 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, and the way he took over late in the game, in the fourth quarter and in overtime, propelled the Lakers to a 146-141 victory in what has to amount to be the worst season in franchise history. At least goes out on a small, nice note, per se, even though there's much to talk about and much to speculate on. Yeah, just the L. Rob's just saying small. Yes, yeah, just a very small, nice note. But here today to talk about the game are 3 awesome guests. We'll also be covering the MVP thoughts and who we think will win the MVP award. Plus, if we can, maybe even playing games and all that good stuff. Because right now, we're just going to focus in on the Lakers and what's going on there. But here today to talk about the games are 3 great guests indeed. First up, first man here, who's a guy, and L. Rob missed it. And I think Joe Sorrell was still watching the game out of the room. But a guy who is very mad at ESPN. And if you've heard all the expletives he was throwing at ESPN, I was in tears. I was in absolute tears. It was so hilarious.
Never watch ESPN if you've got Sportsnet. Watch Sportsnet. ESPN.
The only way I could watch the game was through ESPN.
Because he's in the Bay Area.
And I'm in the Bay Area. And so with 3 minutes and 17 seconds left in the game and the Lakers down by 7 or 8 points or something like that, my recording ends because the program has ended. They now moved over to SportsCenter.
And all I can hear is bleep, 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 bleep.
And so I'm coming over here and I'm sitting down and Gerald is just bemoaning because the game, he wants the game to be over so he could start the podcast.
Yes, I want my pain of the
season. They keep calling timeout. They keep calling timeout. Meanwhile, I'm watching the score and then all of a sudden I'm looking down and he's like, wait a minute, Gerald, this game is really happening. You know, there's 2 minutes left and it's like tied 135-135. I'm running to the TV. I'm trying to get it on. I'm trying ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPN4.
Every time ESPN.com, you're refreshing and it was going backwards.
And in the background while I'm doing it, and I'm so angry because I want to watch the end of this game. It's the last game of the year. I've watched 82 games this year. I haven't missed a single game, even when I'm traveling. And then they go and finally we get a game where we got a chance to win. And ESPN screws me over. And I don't even have a tape of it because they cut it off. I was just like.
That's a microcosm.
And the Yankees lost today on top of it all. So,
you could be off to the great start that the Angels are.
But, you know, listen. I'm hoping they'll have some tape of the end of the game and the great plays that Reeves made. And I did see most of the fourth quarter heroics from Monk. So, like you and I were talking before the game, Gerald, we've got a bunch of guys, Monk, Reeves, Johnson, especially, that they really aren't starters on a championship quality team, but they're probably good 7 through 10 players. And our problem is that we've had to be forced to make them start, and we've forced to make them start at a position where they're generally smaller than the guy they're playing against, which makes it doubly hard, especially if you're a thin rookie like Austin. But, you know, we'll have more continuity next year, I think, than we've had the last 2 years, you know, when we basically turned the entire roster over, because I think there's probably 4 or 5 guys that we're probably likely to keep. We've got 3 guys with team options, Reeves, Johnson, and Gabriel. The 2 guys that have player options, Kendrick Nunn and Russell Westbrook, have obviously
they're going to opt in.
Opt in and under player options. We're going to end up probably with, you know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 players that on the roster that are going to be, we're here this year, you know, so at least that's a, you know, close to a 50% continuity rate. And we need some continuity because I think one of the big problems the last 2 years has been that it takes so much time just to get a team to gel and get everybody to understand where they're supposed to be, everybody to buy into their roles. And then when you throw injuries, and especially injuries to your superstars or your starters, your season just goes to pieces. And then obviously there must be, you know, like we've talked, the problems are far over and above just the talent on the team. There has to be some problems with leadership, some problems with chemistry, some problems with coaching, problems with incompatibility of players, you know, not necessarily the fit on the basketball court, but just the fit as part of, as a member of the team, a contributing member of the team. It sounds like there's a lot of things that just weren't right. So I'm glad the season's over. We could start a lottery to see how long before they fire Frank. I think it'll happen tomorrow.
Check Twitter now.
And it'll be interesting, you know, to see what happens. We've all talked about it, and it's been obviously the main subject that everybody's been talking about on the blog, which is basically what's going to happen. You know, you're faced with having the people who screwed things up last year, the last 2 years, going to be making all the decisions as we go into the third straight season, you know. So going to be a lot of fireworks. And, you know, I found something kind of interesting, which is that the worse the Lakers have played this year and the more controversy that's happened, the better the traffic has been in the blog. It's just really amazing. You know, the number of visitors and number of page views were up 30 to 35% the last 3 months over the previous 6 months. As I was telling one of the guys on the blog, that, you know, the other side of it is too, that I think that I've never seen such a wide range of topics that everybody's talking about. You know, it's usually there's just like sometimes you got to think of hard to find things to talk about, especially if the team is doing well and everything's rolling along. On the other hand, when things are not doing as well as we as fans want them to do, then there's all of this criticism and all of the different reasons that you can attribute for the team not playing as well as they should be playing, and all of the proposed solutions and trades that you can make so that it becomes, you know, the NBA has done a terrific job of making the league an all-year-round league between the offseason and all of the things that happen. It's affected the social media. Of
Vogel's fired, by the way.
Already?
Yeah, Woj just dropped it.
There you go, absolutely. At least he was wearing a nice outfit. I really like that one. I'm thinking about buying that one. That was really nice.
Well, I hope Frank and I hope the team keep it classy.
Well, they've already fired him 10 seconds after the game. I don't know if that's classy.
Well, yeah.
Adrian Wojnarowski has already announced it. He might not even know it yet. So I'm sure he does. But, yeah, that's nearly not that classy.
He went out a winner.
Yeah, well.
He's got a ring. There you go.
Well, yeah, you listen, that's the thing about every championship team that I've ever been a member of, I've also had seasons with that were not very promising. And so it's kind of funny because often it is a perfect storm of everything going right, you know, when you win a championship. And that's definitely what happened to us in the bubble. You know, we had that perfect storm of good fortune and our best players playing their best. And we walked away with it, and little did we know that we also signed up for the next 2 years, you know, which was the ball bouncing the other way and evening things out. So, any rate, glad the season is over. Now we can talk about the things that we need to talk about going forward as to how the Lakers are going to get themselves out of this mess, especially considering the handicaps that they're facing.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Also here today to talk about today's game is a good man indeed. He is Ox 1947. He is Joe Sorrell. You can catch him at LakersBall.com. Please be part of the conversation every game starting in October because the Lakers have a long layoff, but also the great conversations they have in their groups during the course of the summer. It is Joe Sorrell. Thanks again, my friend, for all the time that both you, Laker Tom, and L. Rob have spent on this show over the course of the last miserable season. But for Frank Vogel, the pain is over, and for us, it is as well.
6 months, we're going to see in 6 months. That's a, I don't know, sometimes 6 months goes by.
But we'll still be here. We're going to be, yeah.
Well, I wore my Tiger Woods red on Sunday.
You shot today. Plus 13 too?
No, I would have shot plus 33 if I was golfing today.
I should have shot plus 99. Nah. That's terrible. I'm Mr. Slice. You could actually see my slice going, beautiful as it slices into the wrong direction.
My slice is on the driver to the left.
Mine goes to the right.
Mine is always to the left. I enjoyed today's game because it looked like guys who really cared, and it was the first time I remember seeing that in a while. Lakers ended the season 8-2 in overtime.
Yeah. I was telling Tom that before. As soon as we started overtime, I said, I wish the Lakers could play overtime every single game because they would have made the playoffs.
I don't remember that many overtimes in the Laker viewing of my life. 10 games. That's pretty crazy when you think about an 82-game season. 10 of them were in overtime. I don't know. That's just kind of crazy how
800 winning percentage.
Close. That's
yeah. What's really funny is that it means that 33 minus 8, it means that there were really only 25 regular season victories in regulation time.
They
25. That's
they had. I would say if I could give a number out and just the top of my head, I'd say they probably lost 20 games this year where they were close with like 4 or 3 minutes left, and then they lost. It is a very weird season in so many ways. I you can't really, once you start getting into all the scenarios, you just can't really comprehend what happened. How do you have a
perfect
LeBron
storm of bad luck is really what it, everything's an anomaly, you know.
Other
teams get hot against us. Guys have career nights against us. The ball bounces the wrong way.
The refs
don't call the fouls for LeBron.
This is the haunted house that's legit, right?
Well, but we saw the other side of it in the bubble. AD shoots over 40% from three. LeBron shoots over 40% from three. Markieff Morris shoots over 40% from three. Our defense is sensational. Rondo's the third best player in the entire series. You know, it's sometimes the ball bounces your way, sometimes it bounces the other way.
The ref may have been anomalies, but the defense was legitimate that year.
I agree. Yep. I agree.
The defense
was illegitimate this year.
The defense was.
Well, it was legitimate and being illegitimate this year.
Was the defense was. That was not an anomaly. That was purely uncaring, to put it nicely. No one really cared to play defense. It was the worst defense probably I've seen with capable players. I don't want to say some of them were defensive players, but defense.
Well, do you think that that's Frank's fault, or do you think that it's really that?
Frank's
some players
fault.
Just can't play that quality of defense.
Frank, it's not a fault of Frank's. He has a fault. It's not his fault. He has a fault. Frank is a company guy, okay? He says the right things. He's a politically correct guy, employee. So when you have that kind of personality, it's hard to, let's say, if something like this that's happens. I mean, how does a guy who knew how to coach defense his whole career all of a sudden not know for 6 months? That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's the point I was trying to make, that I think that what happened is they probably should have fired Frank the minute that they made the trade for Westbrook, because as soon as you saw that team assembled, you knew that it was going to be nowhere near as good a defensive team as we've had in the past. And we also knew that Frank is going to try every veteran he can who at one point in time played great defense in their life before he's going to give any young guy like Reeves or any of these other guys a chance to start. And we're going to go through a whole season like that. We know that's how he operates. So he was a good – he was the perfect coach for what we needed when we were in the bubble. And unfortunately, this time around, he got given, and he was given
a
flawed lineup.
Last year.
He's given a flawed lineup, and he turned around and screwed it up even worse.
Well, let's get to L. Rob. Good man indeed. He is L. Rob. L. Rob, thanks so much again for being a part of the Lakers Fast Break Basketball Rotational League and Fantasy Basketball, which I won. Yay!
Congratulations, Gerald.
I know you were the man last year on it, so I had to go ahead and match up.
Yeah, my season went the way the Lakers went. it was kind of hard to get my
you're
team
blaming injuries. Are you blaming injuries?
Like the Lakers, and
climbed up at the last month. I'm just gonna say that.
I did, but I mean, I did have. What I had Simmons who couldn't play. I had Kyrie who couldn't play the half the year, and AD. So that was a tough roster. But congratulations. So you hard earned win. So next year will be the rubber match between
rubber match next year. You got it, my friend. Yeah, but yeah. So, I do want to say again that the Lakers did win in overtime once again, 146-141. In answer to Tom, I do want to say the correct quote from Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter is that Frank Vogel has coached his final game for the Lakers a decision that is suspected to be shared with him as soon as Monday. So he supposedly doesn't even know this. Sources tell ESPN. As soon as Monday. Lakers search expected to be lengthy and expansive, no duh, with no clear initial front runner. But yeah.
Ron Howard.
Yeah, he got the scoop on Shams this time around. But L. Rob, great to have you here, my friend. Your thoughts on the game, or is it a microcosm of the season in general, of the prolonged pain? Yes, the Lakers did come out on top. You really can't take a whole lot from this game because, you know, in that the last game, the guys just pad the stats. You know, Malik Monk is trying to make himself look good for a free agency. Austin Reeves, same thing. He's just trying to go ahead and make himself look good for hopefully a better position next summer or next going forward. Yeah, so your thoughts on the game, season, whatever you want to talk about, my friend, because the floor.
First, I want to acknowledge Tom. I always got to bring some history in it. Tom had his flashback to 1968 when the Jets and the Raiders were playing, and NBC cut away
in
the last minute.
The Heidi, I was talking to Gerald about that.
Yep. Yeah, and L. Rob, if you were here.
In the last minute, and the Raiders came back and won, but nobody saw it.
L. Rob, if you would have heard the expletives that Liker Tom was shouting, he was so bad. It was so funny.
I had Gerald doing – I told Gerald to do the play-by-play.
Broadcast. I was doing the play-by-play for him.
So that, you know, man, I said, come on, Gerald. Put an effort
in
the
game.
Better than Bill McDonald.
Really happy for Austin Reeves, you know, to get a triple-double. And
especially when he was shooting.
The best part of the game to me was actually when the Lakers were coming back late in the fourth and in overtime, seeing the bench. They were still engaged. Everybody except for Westbrook was sitting there like, do I have to sit through another 5 minutes? And everybody else is pretty pumped for Austin Reeves. They're up, they're high-fiving, they're laughing, they're clapping. And Russ is sitting there like, really? So I thought that was pretty interesting body language if you go back and look at that. That whole Juwan Howard thing, you know, Pelinka's a UAM guy, so I don't know. I think that's I mean, Juwan Howard hasn't proven anything in college.
Terrible idea. Oh, my
God. Michigan started off as a top five team, and the team scraped and barely made it to the tournament. So, yes, of course, that makes
sense. There was some sort of an incident with him with one of the players.
He hit an assistant coach last year.
So he would, that's just a UAM guy probably doing another UAM guy a favor and circulating some rumors. There's no way in the world.
Well, they included Rondo in it, which is why it caught my attention. You know?
Yeah, well, Rondo, I can see him as an assistant, but the rest of that just makes absolutely zero sense. So who knows where the Lakers go from here? You know what? I mean, I would like to see Pelinka showing the door even before Vogel, but we know how those things work. The guys upstairs always got to play the blame game and try to point the finger at someone else. Not saying Vogel should keep his job, but, you know, those guys in the front office really did a terrible job the last couple of years and just kind of panicked. You know, I mean, ever since they, you know, got rid of Howard and brought in whoever they brought in, that 2 years ago, I was like, really? Are you kidding me? And it's kind of been like a downward spiral since then. So happy for Reeves. Happy, you know, to see Stanley Johnson and Gabriel and those guys earn contracts for possibly next year. And the Lakers need to have guys who can play a little bit defensive first guys. And we talked about, should Vogel be blamed for the defense? When you got Westbrook, when you got LeBron, when you got Monk, guys who are offensive first players, you know what? Those guys aren't engaged defensively. Everything starts from the top. And if your best players supposedly aren't engaged on defense and aren't leading with effort, then you know what? I mean, so you're expecting the rest of the guys to do it? That just doesn't make sense.
Are you saying that LeBron and AD weren't playing great defense this year?
Well, I think AD played decent.
And before I put you on the spot, let me say that one of the things that jumps out, if you look at the team defensive, the individual net ratings of the players on the team, LeBron and AD, basically their defensive ratings, if you rank it by defensive ratings, neither one of them is even in the top five players in the team. So what you just said really sort of rang a bell with me that's a big part of what the problem was with the defense this year was like you said, when the top guys don't lead.
Yeah. Defensive effort. I mean, I thought his defense was pretty consistent most of the year. Maybe it didn't reflect on the performance. LeBron's defense, I thought, I mean, but let's face it, he's 37 years old. So
and scoring, leading the league in scoring.
He wanted to focus on that, and he did a great job in scoring. But, you know, maybe this team needed more defense from him. Russ has never focused on defense.
Russ cost us a couple of last-second defensive plays in games where the team made the winning shot, and his defense was actually worse. Was the worst thing about him being here was his defense. It wasn't much the fact that he was turning the ball over.
The blown rotations are just as disheartening as the blown
layups. Yes. Coming in.
I didn't know it was going to be that bad. Jeez.
He did the same thing. I mean, if you've been watching Russ, but we thought his offense was, you know, in other places, his, you know, other areas of his game made up for it. And this year, the other areas were, you know, just as leaky. So it really, you know, made it bad. So there's so much blame to go around. We really don't have enough time to.
Well, I know Robbie wanted to cover
even the role guys. Even the role guys, you know, the guys that were supposed to play defense, man, why's his name escaping?
Trevor Ariza?
Trevor's too old. I mean, Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore starting. He was supposed to be the defensive guy.
Well, the fans at Golden State, they were happy to get rid of him. Yes. And
anytime your other fan base is celebrating when you pick up their players, that's not a good sign.
No.
Oh, boy.
Just a shame. But L. Rob, great thoughts. Robbie, great question as well. Again, a lot is being blamed on LeBron. You can't put the whole blame on LeBron. It's an organizational problem. Yeah. When you get to this level, when you go down to the whole organization from top to bottom, has issues that needs to be done with. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be fixed. I think it starts with Genie and goes all the way down from there. I think a lot of it does with Rob as well. I think she needs to, if she cannot commit to making and building a team that is going to cost some money, then you know what? Maybe it's a better interest if she goes ahead and sells the team. I've said it throughout the past few weeks, and I'm going to continue to say it. I know it's not going to happen. I already know it's not going to happen. Because I know what this team means to the buses. I get that. But, you know, you see the other teams, you see what the Golden State Warriors are doing. They're willing to go ahead and do what it takes to go over that cap extensively and still build upon that. So, again, this is an organizational thing. I don't think you have the right GM in place. I don't think you have the right people in place to make the decisions going forward. We'll wait and see. Maybe you'll prove us wrong, but...
Well, hold on. I want to try to understand something here. When you have a team that is being controlled by an agency, how are they going to operate?
They're not controlled by an agency.
They're controlled by Clutch, aren't they?
No, they're not. If they were controlled by Clutch, let's put it this way. There are probably situations
Clutch has a big influence with the Lakers.
Where Clutch has a big influence on the team, both positively and negatively. I think that we didn't trade THT because... Clutch.
We didn't trade THT because his potential was there, and we didn't want to give up on some guy who's 20 years old who's showing skills. That's the only reason why.
I think if it had not been a Clutch client, THT would have been gone and Lowry would have been here. And, you know, so there's a give and take that you get from that situation, but they traded away two Clutch people to get Russ, you know, so it's not a situation like that. And there are lots of situations where there isn't a conflict, but occasionally there is a conflict, you know, especially when THT was up for that trade. So that's one of the things that they have to resolve. They got six things that they've got to take care of. They've got a number one. They have to do something about the whole situation that Jeannie's making. The Jeannie, who admits she doesn't know basketball, is listening to a whole bunch of people.
She said that?
Yes, she's admitted before that she's not an X and O's basketball person like her dad was.
Neither was Phil Jackson.
She's a businesswoman, okay? But the problem is that she's listening to
Dr. Buss wasn't an X and O's guy either.
She's listening to Linda and Kurt Rambis. She's listening to Rob Pelinka, and she's listening to Magic Johnson. Well, my belief is that the only way that you're going to get any change in the front office is if you bring Magic Johnson back. As
hold on, hold on. I got to say this. I got to say this. Guys, Magic Johnson is one of the greatest that ever played. Correct? Okay.
Yes.
How was he as a coach?
Terrible.
How was he as a player, whatever the hell he was?
How was he as a vice president?
Yeah.
As a basketball executive?
Yes, the last
was,
job
he had. Manager, he was terrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. Who knows X's and O's better than Magic? Okay, now let me get to this. The weird thing about all this is, what is the job of the, I'm just going to say general manager, player personnel, whatever. General manager. I'm just going to call the middle guy, right? The owner, the middle guy, and then the players, right? So what is the job of the GM? The job
depends
of the GM.
Depends on the owner.
Okay, so the owner is, you're telling me that the owner is not allowing the GM, like who called these shots? Was it Rob?
No, you got you got two kinds of owners, Joe. You got guys like Jerry Buss, or the guy from the Cowboys who really want to be involved in everything that happens with their team.
And that's why his team
And so they're basically going to make most of those big decisions.
You're telling me Genie. And
then you have the people like Genie who should hire the best professional that he could get in. They should go out and hire, you know, Masai Ujiri or somebody like that to run the club and just say, here, it's yours, run it.
Okay.
But that's not what they're doing, and that's not what they're ever going to do.
He's got a great deal with Toronto, so he's not leaving. He's not walking away.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm using
it as an example. I get it. Yeah,
so the next
step. Here's the thing. What is? I'm not proposing that Magic be the general manager. I'm proposing that Rob do that job. What I'm saying though is, if you bring back one thing, Genie should know from this year is that maybe I don't want to fire Rob, but I better be looking at what's happening with how he's doing, because the last 2 years have been disastrous.
Yeah.
So you bring Magic Johnson in as a consultant.
I don't think last year was a disaster, though.
Because he was the one who wanted to get Magic. He wanted to get LeBron James. He's the one who wanted to get Anthony Davis. He has the ability to have a vision. He thinks outside of the box, whereas nobody else in the Lakers organization does. They all are basically fighting to have their voices heard with Genie, to have their advice listened to. They're not at all talking about what is their direct decisions that need to be made about this team. We don't have enough size. Do we get a new center and move LeBron and AD to the other positions, or do we just stay small? There's a whole bunch of decisions like that that have got to be made both strategically. Do we actually trade Russell Westbrook, or do we hold him and have $35 million to go at the end of the year after this year to go out and recruit somebody to replace
him? You can't. You have LeBron's time is done.
That would be for the second year of the last 2 years of LeBron's time.
And again, you're talking about a guy who's going to go into his 20th year.
There's big decisions to be made, and I would rather have Magic Johnson be in an official part of that inner circle making those types of decisions.
He should not be anywhere near.
All right, let's start this. Let's finish right now, because I want to get L. Rob in here. L. Rob, okay, I am not for Magic Johnson coming back to the Lakers in any official capacity. I think, you know, I love Magic. I've got something right on here, the wall that has Magic on it.
I know you don't like
Michigan
it.
State. You are Michigan State through and through. But as a man thinking clearly, as I've always tried to on this show, I would say it's not in the Lakers' best interest to go ahead and have Magic Johnson come back.
He's influencing Genie already.
Let Rob talk.
In some type of role or not, he's going to have some type of influence with Genie Buss because of their relationship. Should he be in an official capacity? Probably not. He doesn't want to put the work in, I mean, as he showed when he was in an official capacity. But should he have some input on some things? Can he have some influence with players? Yeah. So you just have to know how to use them. But Rob Pelinka definitely should be feeling some heat. You know what? But like you guys, like you said from the beginning, Gerald, is Genie Buss committed? Forget that you don't know X's and O's like Jerry Buss. You're not committed to win like Jerry Buss. Reportedly they wanted AC was, everyone wanted to keep him. The one guy on the team who did the little things, who was focused on defense, and the Lakers let him walk. if this was Jerry Buss's Lakers, Caruso wouldn't have walked, and the team would have more continuity. They would have had somebody with a defensive focus. So, Jeannie Buss, are you going to spend the money? Are you going to be committed to trying to win championships and doing the things it takes? That one move showed you weren't committed. So,
agreed.
It's got to start with you. Yeah, get rid of Vogel, get rid of Pelinka, but are you as committed? And you're not. You're showing you're not. So, Lakers fans are too smart for that. We see it. We love you. We love you because you are a bust. But I mean, we're gonna call you out. We're gonna call you out. We're gonna call Magic out. We're gonna call Pelinka out. We're gonna call Bo out. We're gonna call LeBron out. We're gonna call everybody out until the cows come on. Let's start at the top. Are you committed? Answer that question and show me.
Yeah, I mean, right now, LA is in a city where you have right down the street, or actually, your tenant for this. What, next few weeks until they move into their own arena. You got the Clippers, got they're going to a new arena, going to be more attractive, going to be newer, going to be something where the owner has tons more money than Buss. Joe, you sleep on it. Who has the better record right now? Who has the better future going forward right now?
Who cares about the Clippers?
Don't worry about the Clippers, man.
Don't worry
about the Clippers. Win something first.
I hear you guys saying don't worry about the Clippers.
I couldn't care less. Couldn't, by the way, not could. Couldn't.
I'll be dead and buried long before the Clippers are irrelevant.
Clippers are just, they're a skid mark. What is all this Clipper talk?
You don't understand right now. You guys don't see the bigger picture. You never do. You never do.
I'm about titles, baby. That's what I'm about.
With all this stuff that's happened, they look far away from a title right now.
All this stuff for 10 years, okay? After we got shellacked by David Stern, okay? After we got shellacked and got derailed for almost a decade, we still ended up winning a championship before those clowns.
One championship, right. And I'll take that. Every time out, we're tied with Boston. That's great. But what does the future now hold for the Lakers? That's the problem. That's the question.
I think I'm upset about the team playing like garbage. This other stuff that's come up has kind of infiltrated my brain, and I'm finally starting to get out of it a little bit. We went from AD getting injured in the playoffs where we could have won that series to in a year we made two or three decisions that were catastrophic. I mean, this bad. And then on top of that, the whole world came on top of it all at once. And then there was a curse, and then there was this and all that. And then all of a sudden now we want to sell the team, get a new general manager, shoot the dog, do this. Like, calm down.
Okay, let the dog go.
Yeah, we don't want to keep the dog.
Holding on to that dog thing. My gosh, it's scaring me. But, you know, it is.
Humans and their dogs, man.
El Rob, again, I agree with you that that needs to be put in check because there is a lot that needs to be done when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. Are you convinced at all since, you know, you are so astute as far as what you see? I think over the course of the season, your thoughts on this has been right on the money almost every time. You know, just as better than any one of us, that's for sure. So you tell me over the course of the summer, do you think the Lakers will be able to make the changes that will put them back into relevancy once again?
Well, I mean, if Anthony Davis is healthy, big if LeBron James can turn back the time machine again, they already have a good team. I mean, that's as good a foundation as you want. I mean, you can't, so you don't freak out like Joe was saying. You don't panic. You don't throw the baby out. You don't do all that stuff.
Oh, don't forget the dog.
Yeah, the dog. So can they move Russell Westbrook? I do not have confidence in the team being able to move Russell Westbrook, and as much as it pains me, I think, like I said at the All-Star break, they weren't going to be able to move him. And now at this point, you are actually better off holding them, and unless you can really find a deal and having that chip coming up with this next trade deadline or whatever.
Next February, I think.
So bring in a strong coach, somebody who's going to, you know, check them and make sure they, you know, run things the way they want to run them, bench them when he needs to be benched, do whatever we want to be done. But the most important thing is the other three or four guys you're going to bring in to fill out the roster. It's figuring that part out and bring in some defensive first guys and some guys who can can fit and
under 35
and all of these 35 plus guys. Come on.
Yeah.
So did I answer your question? No, I don't have confidence in them being able to move Russ. I'm very shaky on their ability to fill out the roster properly, but they do have AD and LeBron. So they are in a decent position that if they stumble across a couple good moves, this team will still be tough and they'll be hungry.
Well, I know that's something we speculated on the last game, but do you think that they can get through a season, both of them, healthy?
I think AD can. His injuries were kind of freakish. I don't know about LeBron. You know, Father Time at, 20th year, whatever year it is, he's going to need some time off and he's going to get banged up. So I'm more confidence in AD than I do in LeBron.
Actually. They have to move Westbrook. There is no, if the Westbrook comes back next year, look for the same result.
Now, maybe Robbie brings up another great question that we talked about last time. This is something that Joe and Laker Tom were arguing over. Should the Lakers keep AD? That's a bigger question. Your thoughts on keeping AD?
Trade value. What are you going to get for AD?
Yeah.
Check. He's more valuable to the Lakers than he is anybody else.
Just check.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt to get the calls, right?
You have to. See, if somebody thinks they're one piece away and they want to give up, give you four or five good players for them or three or four good players for them.
Fill up your draft picks.
What if Miami sent Bam and Hero and three first-round picks? Would you consider that?
That would make me think.
Yes,
Yes. Tom's like, well, you know that stuff I told you.
Tom's like,
he's thinking.
That would make me
he's
think.
Got that just thinking remember, on.
You the guys, Lakers are.
Well, you know, this is where you really forget that it's Clutch Sports
I thought Clutch wasn't running the Lakers.
Yeah, I thought Clutch was running.
Yeah, but you're not going to go and trade the number. There's a reason why Clutch.
We got you, Tom. Actually, I could have got you two shows ago, but
there's a reason why they did this. They got them together to play here because they felt the synergism of the two stars in the same city would be better for both of them.
Play here.
Right.
Which hasn't been doing a lot of, and that's the point.
Well, but
how many games have they missed? How many games has AD missed over the course of the past
two
seasons?
There's a pretty standard rule that almost every general manager in every major sport is going to do, which is the superstar is going to have to break his legs in half before they're going to get rid of him because of that.
Robbie's saying hang in there, Tom.
The closest example that we've got. The Lakers are not going to trade LeBron James. They're not going to trade Anthony Davis. LeBron James is going to sign an extension. The Lakers are going to go out and pay the luxury taxes and compete at that level because that was sort of everything that's already been ironed out. The big question now is what happens? And then to answer Gerald's question, yes, I think the Lakers will have no problem moving Russell Westbrook because I think that his contract at this point in time is an asset. In fact, what worries me more than anything else is it could be such a good asset that the team may decide to keep it.
It doesn't get that good of an asset until
February. They don't get the deal that they want because that means that summer after this summer, we would have almost $40 million in cap space available to add somebody to LeBron and AD because they'd be the only two guys under contract.
It doesn't become a huge asset until February when the teams know in the NBA exactly where they stand. They don't know exactly where they stand. They're all optimistic.
Most of those teams are making their plans in between seasons, not in the middle of the season. You'll find some people who get rid of him in the middle of the season. If he doesn't sign the extension, I'm positive that he's already agreed to sign the extension. It's August 4th, so it has to be verbally agreed because we have to make moves in July. So, The two draft picks that we have, we may have to make unprotected because they're post LeBron draft picks.
That's terrible.
And they have a lot of value. We could have made several deals just with one draft pick last time. Now we've got two draft picks and Russ's expiring contract. And as I said, that contract is so good that Joe is right. There's going to be a part of the team if they don't get exactly what they want. In a Russell Westbrook trade, they're going to say, well, we're going to keep him because when that $47 million comes off, the Lakers are going to have cap space. And then hopefully they'll have Magic Johnson by that time to sell the third superstar that's going to come here to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
L. Rob, you wanted to say something? I know you. We couldn't make out what you were saying, my friend. Sorry about that.
Yeah. They don't need a third superstar, Tom. They need
I actually agree with you 100%.
And that's a total reversal of what you said at the beginning of this year. I'm just
going to need some average players. They just need some good players that can play their role. And they need the KCPs of the world, Alex Caruso's of the world.
That's actually the big decision that they really need someone like Magic Johnson to make for this team, which is, do we go after another third star? Because the problem with Russ is he was just the wrong guy. It wasn't just that Russ was the wrong guy. It left you with only two other starters to make up, to fill all of the holes that you'd have that your superstars couldn't do. So I agree with you 100%. I mean, I and Gerald, you're right. I bought into the third star at the start of the year.
Yes, I did it
because I also felt that we needed to respond to Brooklyn because I felt they were going to be the team to beat. And both teams ended up one in the play-in tournament and one didn't even make the play-in tournament. But I know, I think it's been pretty well proven unless you get lucky like the Warriors did and you get a superstar like Steph on a contract that's very low, or you run into that year when there's a big jump in the salary cap so that you can absorb somebody. Otherwise, there's just not enough money. I don't care even if who the superstars are, you have to be incredibly lucky and choose the right guys and find somebody like Rondo and Markieff Morris, who played so well during that bubble championship, to be able to, to win. And when you have the lineups like we got now, I mean, I don't care who it is choosing the 12 guys that you're going to add to LeBron and AD. There are going to be some hits and there are going to be some misses. I mean,
need more hits than misses, Tom.
Yeah, and we've had more misses than hits.
Yeah, we have very little hits recently.
We had some persistent misses that are killers, like DeAndre Jordan and Drummond and, situations.
Ellington Ariza. Can I continue?
No more Ellington. He's been on the last two disastrous.
No, but then you do have Reeves and Monk and Johnson. I think Stanley Johnson definitely is going to be one of our 7 to 10 rotation players next year. Yeah.
Robbie, I just wanted to answer your question real quick because he's saying that LBJ wants to play with Steph. Chances LBJ will go to the Warriors or Steph comes to the Lakers. I would say if you had to bet on one, I would say LBJ to the Warriors, but it's a long shot at best.
Steph said he'll see him in the All-Star game.
What is this?
I'm answering a question from our
audience. What is this guy every 5 minutes? I want to play with this guy. I want to play with that guy. I want to play with my son. I want to play with my kids. I want my kids to work with me.
That's what you do every day when you go to the gym. You see who's there and who's going to be on your team, and you recruit this guy, and you recruit that guy.
We need a point guard. This explains why this whole thing is just a. Just what do you want?
The old thing where they punch each other out at the end of every game.
Shut up! Not you, Tom. Not you, Tom. I meant like LeBron. Like really? I want to play with Steph. Did he really say that?
Yeah.
I know Laker Thomas wanted to punch me out a few times, but. Be that as it may. We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, the Lakers do win in their final game. Tremendous performances from Austin Reaves and Malik Monk, 146-141 in overtime as the Lakers finish their season 33-49. A very scintillating season.
Didn't lose 50 games.
We didn't lose 50 games as you had predicted over a week ago. that's good, that that prediction did not come true, but it is most likely going to go down for quite some time as one of the worst, if not the worst, Lakers season.
Where's our draft pick? Where'd our draft pick end up?
Well, the draft pick is going to go to Memphis. Yeah, no, New Orleans. Yeah, right. If it goes under, if it's 1 through 10, it's New Orleans. If it's 10, 11 and over, it's Memphis, I believe. If that's correct. Yeah. Let everybody know, I've been looking at this. Half the NBA draft sites have it wrong. Half of them have it right, half of them have it wrong. So be careful when you look out there exactly. They'll all.
If you don't like what you see, you're probably on the wrong site.
Probably indeed. But before we head on out, yeah, exactly. 41 lineups that we've had, 41 different starting lineups. That tells it all right there. Before we talk MVPs?
They matched the 1993-94 Lakers in record. And that team had no one on it. Hardly anyone.
Yeah.
That's how bad. I remember thinking, I remember seeing 33 and 49. I had to go back to the 94 season.
I hope Frank Vogel, though, keeps his nice, uniform that he had on. That was really good. That's how
they need to bring back the suits.
No, I don't. Yes. I don't want to see any pit stains.
They look like college coaches.
I don't want to see any pit stains. No, absolutely not. I don't want to see any pit stains.
This isn't the 80s with Doug Moe wearing a flannel sports jacket. Come on.
Half the guys in the league are not in the best of shape. You got to admit that.
If anybody needs to wear a suit, it's Tom Thibodeau. He cannot wear those shirts.
They look much better without the suits. I'll say without the suits. It's advertising. I never want to buy a suit that they're wearing, especially with all the pit stains.
I like suits.
I'd rather buy the...
better that way.
I don't know. I take the jogging suits every time.
Well, here's another way to look at this season. There were only 21 games where we had all three of the superstars. And our record during those 21 games was 11 and 10. So if we'd played 82 games, we might have finished 42 and 40 if we'd had our whole lineup.
That's something to brag about.
Well, no, I'm just pointing out that, that
you're really stretching, Tom.
Well, no, there is an argument on the other side about the team not getting a chance to see how those three guys could play. And if they could take what they had this year, laugh all you want, but the truth of the matter is we're going to be hearing these arguments from different quarters of the internet and different people in the Lakers universe talking about it.
How about LeBron not keep telling the world he wants to play with everyone that's not on his team first? Then we can go on.
Look into the actual 21 games. How many times did all three of them play well? That's another thing. Because usually when
they still had a negative net rating for the three of them on the court.
There you go indeed. But I mean, we could argue about this all day long, and we've got all summer to argue about it.
Who's arguing?
Well, we have been for most of the past hour, but before we head out,
Lee Rob isn't arguing.
L Rob's a smart guy of us. So,
no, I would love to. I mean, let's move on. Let's get Russ out. Let's get a good trade. I think the question is, do I have confidence in the guys making the call to make the right trade?
Well, we need to talk to Mr. Rich, who runs the company, right? Hire Magic so he can tell us how much he loves Ja Morant, and then he gets fined.
Yes. No.
But if Ja Morant became a free agent, there's nobody better that I'd like to have go sell him for the Lakers.
He's not going to become a free agent for a long, long time. Don't even put that into your mind.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good team situation where he is.
And he's about ready to get paid a lot more on extension. But before we hunt him out,
Robbie
is asking a great question. What will your live schedule be for postseason and or summer? We are going to continue to go ahead and do shows at least twice a week. Good question, Robbie. I think it's going to base off of what we're going to be doing for volume, for the metrics. I think probably a show on Sunday nights is probably a good thing for us as well, because it drops Monday on the podcast outlet. So it means good numbers for us. Plus, also as well, I like to do one show at least Wednesday or Thursday night as well. But I will post on the Lakers Fast Break Facebook site. I will post a schedule going forward for the summer. I think that's a great idea, Robbie. Thank you so much. Appreciate, again, everything that you do for us. Truly appreciate it. But before we head on out, MVP talk. Robbie, please let me know in the comments who you think should be the MVP for this year. It comes down to three, L. Rob. We've got Giannis. We've got Jokic, who you heard in the crowd today. They just really want Jokic to win, no doubt. And also Joel Embiid. So I want to hear your thoughts on which of those three, or is it someone else that you want for MVP this year?
Well, make no mistake about it. The Joker is the best player in the league. So do you give the MVP to the best player? Think about it. He lost, the second and third best player, and they had a better or equally as good a record last year as they had this year as they had the year before. So, his play has just been incredible to me. So I know people like to see whoever got the best record and all that stuff. They almost won 50 games. He's the best player in the league.
No, they did win 50. They won 51. They tied Milwaukee, and they also tied Boston.
No, I'm talking about the Jokic.
Oh, Jokic. Okay, and Denver.
Yeah, come on, Gerald.
48. They won 48.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, he lost his top two, number two and number three.
I was looking at record. Sorry.
And he held it down for him. He plays every single game. He's the best player. He deserves it. Giannis
won three more games. That's
probably his second best. Embiid, he had a great year, and he's in the conversation. And throw Booker in there since Phoenix was the best.
With Murray.
Those are four players. If I had a vote, I'm giving it to Jokic.
There you go, indeed. Laker Tom, your thoughts on MVP before we head on out?
I would give it to Jokic also. He 48, he won 48 games. The other guys won 51. It's three games difference. It's no big deal.
But without Murray and without Porter.
Yeah, otherwise, I do think that Booker belongs in the conversation.
Yes. But
the problem is that you've got Chris Paul there, even though he's been injured, and that always splits up, the situation. It's like AD and LeBron. It's always a difficult situation when you've got two superstars on the same team. But I think Nikola Jokic is by far from whatever definition you use for MVP, I think that he's the most valuable player. If you have a different definition for MVP, such as being the best player in the league or something like that, then I might differ. But for the guy who's most valuable for his team, that team cannot win without him. He makes the biggest difference.
Robbie also agrees with you. Jokic is Robbie's choice, saying that Giannis and Embiid are not close to Jokic's abilities. As far as being able to go ahead and do so many different things, I agree with you that Jokic, the fact that the whole offense is structured around him and that he's improved so much on the defensive end, and the fact he did it without, like you said, L. Rob, their second and third best players, I think you got to go ahead as well for me, Jokic. But last but certainly not least, my friend Joe, MVP thoughts before we head on out.
Jokic came out the last couple of weeks, right? They weren't talking about him being the MVP the last few weeks, were they?
Yes.
It's probably been a head-to-head with Embiid and Jokic for the last month.
Yeah.
Embiid was a favorite for a little while, but then Jokic won in that last polling they were doing.
Which is part of the problem, Joe. He should have been in the conversation from the very beginning.
Right.
Well, he had a 2,000-1,500 season, which has never happened in the league. I was shocked at that. I thought maybe Kevin Garnett or Larry Bird would have had that, but apparently they didn't. I guess if you had to explain it, if Embiid had gotten the first seed in the East, I would have given it to him. But Jokic had a better season than he had last year, and he was an MVP. So, yeah, you have to go with Jokic.
Yeah, I think it's unanimous.
There's really no one else that I could think of other than maybe Giannis, Booker. I keep forgetting about him. And when I forget about something, something's probably not.
It's just that Phoenix is so good that you feel like he deserves some credit.
He's good, too. I'm not trying to dog on Booker. He's when we played him, he was making shots like Kobe used to make shots.
They won 64 games, man. Yeah. Nobody was even close to it.
But I do think I don't talk about the team. I know we talked about the coach, and again, I should have. I don't know. Sometimes we start talking, and I kind of veer off. But I actually think that Eric Spoelstra should be the coach of the year. What he did to have him one seat, I think he did a great job.
What about Jenkins?
That was your pick. That was my pick, but I started thinking, I'm like, you know.
Are you going to take that pick back?
No, I'm going Jenkins.
Jenkins is going
to
be upset.
But we gotta give some props to Spoelstra. And
I think Monty, though, you got to give it to Monty.
Yeah, got to give it to Monty, man. 64 games.
How many does he have to win?
Yeah, I thought Udoka in the conversation. 50
more games.
That turnaround Boston.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay, what happened there? Jeez.
Yeah, so.
How come those guys woke up?
So a lot of worthy candidates for that.
They were killing people.
I'm with you, Gerald, though. I still would have to go with Monty. I mean, to the incredible season Phoenix had.
Yeah, I agreed. Although it's close. Like you guys said, you know, all those are great choices. Udoka for
Phoenix needs to win it all, by the way. They have to win it all this year.
Well, we should do a playoff preview. We need to do a playoff preview. Let's get the play-in settled.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because we got the play-ins coming up this week. We can go ahead and do a play-in now as far as the preview right here for you. So your thoughts on the play-ins. I mean, we're going to be seeing, what is it, Brooklyn playing Cleveland and then Atlanta playing Charlotte first off. How do you think the East is going to go as far as the 7 through 10 seeds, but when it's all said and settled out? Tom, I'll start with you first.
I don't even know who's playing.
Well, there you go. Up to date. Brooklyn is 7th. Cleveland is 8th. Atlanta is 9th. And Charlotte is 10th.
Brooklyn and Atlanta.
Oh, there you go. All right. L. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Tom. Atlanta's finally playing like they were expected to play all season. So, yeah, I see them moving up and moving on. And Brooklyn's going to win the first game. And
all right. Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think Brooklyn and Atlanta, I think that Cleveland has just been so injured. They had such great momentum, and it's such a great season for them. They were only expected to win. Vegas had them, I think, over under 29 wins. So to tell you, they've already won already this season in so many different ways. They've got such a bright future ahead. Joe, your thoughts on the plans for the East, and then we'll cover the West.
Same, Atlanta and Brooklyn.
Yeah, I just think right now, they've got a lot of momentum behind them, both of them. Robbie's saying the Cavs over the Nets. Ooh, going for the upset on that. And then the Hawks. So you think the Cavs and the Hawks will advance to the playoffs? Ooh, very good choice. Bold choice there, Robbie. Excellent.
Sorry, the Cavs and Hawks can't advance to the playoffs because they're the 9-10 team.
Yeah, but the Cavs, if the Cavs beat the Nets,
has to be the winner of the 7-8.
Do the Nets still, to get into the playoffs, have to win a game?
So who is it, 9-10?
Who's 9-10? 9-10 is Charlotte and Atlanta.
So Charlotte and Atlanta cannot win the number 7 seed.
No, but
they can win the number 8 seed.
If the Cavs win over the Nets, the Cavs would go to the 7 seed. The Nets would be fighting to go into the playoffs then against the winner of Atlanta and Charlotte, correct?
Right. Right.
So Robbie is saying that the Nets would be eliminated. And also the Charlotte Hornets.
Lose twice to be eliminated.
Yeah, he's saying they would lose both. Yeah, right. It would be a massive meltdown.
I'd love to see that, Robbie.
Oh, yeah, we'd all love to see that. That would be, we've been hard on the Lakers. Oh, my gosh, the New York media.
I don't want to see that. I want to see the Nets play. Who's the 2 seed in the East?
2 seed East is Boston.
Yes, I don't want Boston to get a cakewalk. I want to see Boston have to beat a really good team that's worthy of beating them.
It's the Bucks.
No. According to Eastern, it's Boston.
Yeah, I think the Bucks wanted to make sure they positioned themselves. Sure? Everybody wanted to play the Bulls.
ESPN has them as the second seed, Boston.
Yeah.
Let's give everybody a rundown. Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Toronto's in 5th. Kudos to them. They came back strong this season. Chicago, which was leading the Eastern Conference, they fell hard to 6. Then you have the play-in that we just discussed. So,
and that's why Milwaukee positioned themselves to play the Bulls. I mean, that's really not fitting for a defending champion.
Yeah,
not to try to win the, to get the higher seed. But they could have, they sit Giannis today. They could have won today and kept the second seed. But what do? They sit him, get blew out by somebody so they can play the Bulls. And as much as I like the Bucks, I don't like that.
Yeah, I know Sean Grice had mentioned that as well. He was laughing hard.
Were they worried about Brooklyn? Probably, huh?
Probably. Let's go over to the Western Conference play-in. I'll run down the first 6 seeds. It's Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State. Dallas is in 4th. Utah is in 5th. So that makes that nice little matchup there between Dallas and Utah. Denver is in 6th. And then in the play-ins, you have Minnesota, the Clippers, New Orleans, and San Antonio. So, Robbie, let us know your thoughts on the Western Conference standings as far as the play-in is concerned. Guys, I'm going to start with you, Joe, first with the Western Conference play-in. You have Minnesota and L.A., and then you have New Orleans and San Antonio. Who are the two teams heading into the playoffs, in your opinion?
This is a tough one.
That is a tough one.
It's an easy one.
It's got to be Timberwolves and Clippers.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that, especially with Paul George coming back, I really think that that makes
But then again, they're the Clippers. I don't know. Better. Maybe. Maybe not. The
Clippers played well last year.
They good for them. They played well. For what? What they win?
More than the Lakers this year, that's for sure.
Who's going to win seventh, though, between those two teams?
That'll be interesting.
Minnesota.
The Pat Beverly Invitational, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Get to go up against his old team.
How many?
I think Minnesota, too, will win the seventh. Yeah.
I agree with you, Robbie. Clippers will lose the first round. I agree with you. Yeah.
Robbie thinks Clippers is probably one of the most intriguing things, though, is how will the Suns play with the pressure on them? How will they play in those later rounds as championship or bust? You know, they'll get to, you know, live the life for the Lakers for a while.
Let's say the Clippers get the eighth seed. They're going to dispatch the Clippers. Then they're going to play either Dallas or Utah. They'll beat them. And then they'll probably face Memphis. I think they're going to have – they're not going to have as easy as a road as last year, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
So they're
– I don't know if they can beat Memphis, to be honest with you. I think that Memphis
– I think that's a 50-50 game. Let's have this discussion
when the playoffs are set.
If they don't lose a player to injury, I don't think they're – I think they're going to win it all this year.
So do we each of us think that the Western Conference, that the play-in teams that are going to advance are the Clippers and the Timberwolves? Does anybody have any disagreement on that?
Timberwolves and Clippers.
No.
I agree. Clippers are going to have to win. They're gonna.
And there's no Zion. Clippers will be number seven.
I mean, the T-Wolves will hang on to seven. They'll beat the Clippers, and then the Clippers will win the second game against
Clippers. They'll beat the Pelicans.
Yeah. But I agree with Robbie. I think that
Pelicans fly.
Clippers will lose in the first round easy. So, yeah, I don't think they'll find any magic this year. But, yes, we will go ahead and have
a detailed
discussion on the playoffs. Once the actual playoffs are set, we'll see how the plans figure out. But we'll also be talking about the Lakers season as well. We, again, have heard already from Adrian Wojnarowski that, according to the tweet, that
– Wojnarowski.
Yes, Wojnarowski, that the Woj alert, the Woj bomb says that Frank Vogel is supposed to be told.
It's not a Woj bomb. It's
so what does he do? Does he sit in the toilet while there are people in the office at the Lakers talk in the bathroom? How the hell does he know?
Has people who do that for him.
Again, he's already noted that
Adam Schefter, maybe. Last
game, that Frank will be notified by Monday. Well, Frank, I'm sure, has already heard by now that he's already been on the way out. So we'll see what happens there. But again,
what's the send off? What's the send off, Frank? We want to thank you for your contribution. Get the hell out.
They'll probably post something on Instagram and he'll have to find out.
That company PC line crap, right? That's gotten us in this mess.
Social media. Announcement by social media. Death by social media.
Frank won a championship, so he will always be. That part trumps the two losses, even this terrible season.
He's a good guy. He won the championship.
He's proven to be a good coach. So,
and I wish the best for him and his family. Yeah. Let's put it out there we wish him. Yeah, we've said a lot of things about him, his coaching styles, lineup changes, the whole nine yards. I know our YouTube followers especially have been extremely harsh on him, and we've been harsh on him too at times here. But
he deserves
to be fired, man.
There's no doubt about it.
And I'm not dissuading you on that. I'm going to agree with you on that. But I do want to wish him and his family all the best. I hope he does find success somewhere else, because he will go somewhere else. But I will say that, again, we are truly happy to have everyone here listening and watching. Robbie, you've been amazing on the chat board. Thank you so much for watching, as always. But we will be back this week with more episodes. Again, we're going to continue throughout the summer, so please stay with us. If you've got us on your RSS feed, or if you got us on Facebook, you like the page, we give you alerts on when we're going on the air. YouTube, our YouTube followers, you've been tremendous. Joe and I have been also talking to you a lot out there, been answering your questions and comments out there. So you've got some great opinions on YouTube. We'll be on the air again this week. So please, just because the Lakers season is over and it's been the most disappointing ever, doesn't mean this has to be the most disappointing podcast out there, because we think we're the best show out there. We're the Lakers Fast Break. Again, if you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com, Facebook, YouTube, share your comments there. Joe Sorrell, he's at JoeSorrell5. Got the little Dodgers logo thing happening on Twitter. Give him a shout out. At Laker Tom, you know he's got a lot of crazy things to say over the course of summer as far as his trade proposals, his speculation. You know he's got a lot of things to say at Laker Tom, plus his great articles at LakerHolics.com. And Joe's already counting a World Series for the Dodgers. L. Rob, he'll be commenting, I'm sure, as well over the course of the summer and hopefully joining us on the show whenever he can. He's a truly busy man, but I love it whenever he's on the show. He gives us balance. Balance. Ooh. We also got to talk about the fact that HBO Max just dropped Winning Time, Episode 6. So we got to talk about that this week. So definitely, we will be back this week to talk Winning Time, talk the playoffs, anything going on with Lakers scuttlebutt. So we'll be talking all that. We're not going away, and I hope you don't either. Please go ahead and join us continuously throughout the summer right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.